welcome to Sunday Night Live. This is David Penn, your host, filling in tonight for Royce White, coming to you from the studios of Free People Radio, the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. That is the epicenter of so much of the challenge we face here in the great Republic of the United States of America. I'm so glad to be with you this evening. Free People Radio, freepeopleradio.com. We are the center of a movement. Royce White is running for Senate up here in Minnesota. These people run for office. It's all about winning and losing for these people. What we're doing is building a movement, one citizen at a time, one meeting at a time. And we're trying to educate as we go on down the field here in a connected effort to save my freedom. I'm doing it. Hey, let me tell you why I'm doing it. I'm doing it because they're coming for my freedom. And I hope you're doing it to save your freedom. And when we have an aligned interest, well, hey, you know, we have to really get down to what is really the issue. That's what's so great about being with the InfoWars audience. This audience knows the score. You know what's going on. And you know the evil we're facing, and boy, what a blessing it's been to have Alex Jones breaking so much of the news for so many decades. And all of a sudden, voila, we're here. It's real time. We're sitting here on the precipice of a return to violence in the Middle East. It was a period of rearmament. When a ceasefire doesn't lead to peace, it's a period of rearmament. And the news is popping while I'm coming on tonight. Popping. The Iranians, they said they're not showing up to negotiate tomorrow. President Trump announced on Truth Social that they have interdicted an Iranian-flagged vessel. And when it didn't stop, they drilled it. President Trump said right in the engine room, stopped it dead in its tracks. Well, that's been enough to send the stock market down almost a point and oil up about $6 a barrel. Just to start the week, just to get us all in the mood, you know, the people that trade commodities, they're making money as long as the price is going up and down. And baby, it is a roller coaster. There's some money getting made. And it's a very serious thing, of course, because you might have family over there in those deployments. So there's a very theatrical element to this, from my perspective. And there's a real element that is life and death. And those two things are going together, kind of a contradiction. And there are so many contradictions. So many contradictions in this war. Why it's being fought. Who's fighting it. Who's on whose side. Who started it. When did it start? We have to go back and look at these things. Because what we want, or let me just say, what I want, if I'm going to be in a war, I want it to be a righteous endeavor. There are times when you have to fight. I am okay with the fight if it's a righteous endeavor. Are we standing on the word? Is the war truly worth the lives of my fellow citizens? That's the question I want to talk to you about tonight. I've been thinking about it because, you know, there's a lot of cover stories. I was at a, you know, I'm a political, one of the candidates said, don't call yourself an activist, call yourself an educator. So I'm educating every chance I get. I was at a congressional district convention this Saturday. And, you know, I was there and Royce is running for Senate and he was a star of that show. And I got a real look at what's going on in the Republican Party. I'm really trying to understand it, particularly in the metro areas. We have challenges, but what we're looking for is aligned interests. What we don't want is to give the baton back to the communists. We're going to have to think this through very carefully, talk it through, come up with a political strategy, and stand on the firm ground of righteousness. Telling the truth is its own reward. This is David Penn, and I'll be right back with you after this commercial break.
If you suffer from low energy, if you're not feeling the energy that you used to feel in your younger years, You should try this product and see if it makes a difference for you, because there are many causes of lack of energy, but one of them can be a lack of cellular energy support through pre-methylated nutritional supplements like this that can help you. You can go buy a bottle of vitamins at any store, you know, any Walmart, anywhere that's got cheap B12, which is cyanocobalamin, or the cheap B vitamins, or the cheap minerals like calcium carbonate, which is ground up limestone, you know. Alex Jones doesn't use the cheap low-end versions of these products. And I know this as a nutritionist, as a food scientist. I look at Alex's labels and I'm like, yes, these are the high-end ingredients that I would be using in my own formulations. So really, I'm always impressed with what the Alex Jones Store is doing with their product line. So check it out, thealexjonesstore.com, Ultra Methylene Red.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to Sunday Night Live. This is David Penn, guest hosting Royce White. So glad to be with you. I'm going to tell you, up here in Free People Radio, up here in the belly of the beast, we're all about getting the job done. We're all about being in the streets. We're all about real action. And I'm going to tell you all right now, just to take a minute and start out with the opening bid. You know, the future is not determined. It's almost unpredictable. I can see so many different possible outcomes from where we're at. And the people that want to predict the future, the fortune tellers, that's not my thing. What I'm doing is trying to get organized. And here's my thing. I plan for the worst case scenario. I'm always thinking, hey, how can this go wrong? That's because I've owned a business for most of my adult life. And when you're in the business world, you got to be thinking, how can this thing go off the rails? What's going to go wrong? Who's going to hurt me? Who's going to cause trouble? And when I look at this situation, I think, what is the best strategy, political strategy, for my freedom, which is what I really care about? I really love this country. I love the documents in the country. I mean, if you haven't read them, and of course in this audience, probably you have, but if you haven't really extensively read the documents and the writings of the people, listen to this one. Here's Thomas Jefferson. I thought about this in terms of politics. Listen to this. It's so cool. He wrote a letter to a nephew on August 19th, 1785. This is the Thomas Jefferson now. Quote, "It is of great importance to set a resolution not to be shaken, never to tell an untruth. There is no vice so mean, so pitiful, so contemptible, and he who permits himself to tell a lie once finds it much easier to do it a second and a third time, till at length it becomes habitual. He tells lies without attending to it, and truths without the world's believing him. The falsehood of the tongue leads to that of the heart, and in time depraves all its good dispositions." How beautiful. Man, eloquent. But the part that really hits home for our politicians, particularly of the rhino variety, the kind that can't pass the SAVE Act. But they were able to be bipartisan and pass the Genius Act to set up the digital currency. No problem on the money. But when it comes to the voting, can't get the job done. They just can't get it done. And when these people lie, and when they maneuver, and they're not straight with me, and I see it, and I know why they're doing it. Not only are they manipulating the process, but the great truths, the great eloquence that this country rests on is discredited by these people. It's not just the lies they tell, it's the truths nobody will ever believe again. So I'm going to tell you, as a political educator, I will not accept lies in politics. Now, there's a mistake. Okay, people make mistakes. That's cool. But lying, going out of your way to lie like we're stupid, that's just not going to work anymore. We're going to call it out. We're going to call it out at more and more profound of a level. Because the depth to which we're being lied to is supernatural. But once you see it, when I see it for myself, when I get it, okay, I'm a little bit depressed. I feel a lot alone. But you know what? If it's not me going to do it, who's going to do it? And if it's not now, when are we going to do it? And I'm saying that for all of us. That's an I statement. If I'm not going to do it, who's going to do it? And that means really getting out there and self-governing. There's an infinite number of things that you can do, okay? It's infinite. Like, for example, what's Royce doing right now? He's coaching young teenagers. They're still young. Young men. He's coaching them and using the discipline of basketball to turn teenagers into men, men that know the most important things about what it is to live: awareness, anticipation, respect, centering, timing. You know, the things that really matter, the things that make for a good life, for an interesting life. He's teaching that. He's imparting that to young people. That's self-governance. He is passing on skills to the next generation. That counts. That counts. What are we doing politically? Are we involved in the Republican Party? Because I'll tell you what, I know you don't want to be. I understand why you don't want to be. I get it. But if you go in there and you tell the truth, that's one last jerk I got to deal with. So please, if you're in Minnesota, for example, there's delegates. I went to this CD4 thing, and you know what I noticed? I noticed a kind of ideology that all I can say is this about it. When President Trump said he's going to make America great again, I didn't ask him what he meant by that. I just thought, it's on me. I assume that we agreed. Now, why am I saying this? We got a lot of people in the party that have a vision about what makes America great again that has a lot of the rest of us sitting there going, what happened? You know, for example, the Mark Levin crew, the Ben Shapiro crew, and I want to give you a sidebar on this. And those that know, you know I have a unique history, so I can comment on this. And I can comment on Christ, too, something Mr. Shapiro and Mr. Levin would be loath to do, because they're not believers. But I want to remind, and I'm not talking to them personally, because it's all the American Jews that might listen to me right now, because it's time to get down to it so we can get through it. There's three kinds of Jewish people in Eastern Europe back in the day. Are you ready? I'm going to give you the three kinds. You ready? There's the kind that went to Israel. That was the Marxist kind. They went to Israel. Like in any family, like a couple of the brothers went. A couple of the brothers, they didn't want to leave home. And a couple of brothers, let's say there were six brothers. Two of them decided they're getting out of Dodge. Maybe they didn't quite make it to America. Maybe they got stuck in Canada or England, whatever. They got as far as they tried to get to America, but they didn't necessarily. But they got out. And the two that stayed behind, they didn't make it. And that's just the way it went down. So I want to remind everybody, somebody's grandfather's here on purpose. Now, it was legal immigration. The rules were not broken. In fact, the rules were followed. And they struggled to get in here. And when they came here, those old timers, come on now. You got some grandfather, his first language in that home was Yiddish. The second language in that home was probably, let me guess, probably Russian, maybe Polish. The third language was Hebrew, and then they got around to the English. You got somebody in your background like that, American Jews. They didn't come here by accident, and they didn't come here Zionists. They came here because they didn't want to go to Israel. You were not told that by your parents. They didn't tell you all the story. You know what I'm saying? Because, see, they made such an effort, your parents, and you too, to be Americans. You know, you kind of forgot about Bobby and Zadie. They weren't here to be Zionists. They were here to be Americans. Do you understand what I'm telling you? You kind of forgot that part of it when you said, okay, I got a tribal consciousness, yes. I haven't been in synagogue but once a year. You know, I'm a lawyer or a doctor or I own a business. I'm not praying three times a day like my father did or my grandfather did. In fact, life is good in America. Maybe I didn't even marry a Jewish girl. You know what I'm saying? You remember? Maybe she converted. I don't know what the story is, but I know someplace along the way, people stopped believing in God. That I know for a fact. And then everybody was a Zionist suddenly, and I want to just say to you, this is a little strange because, you know, when you grow up in it, you think it's forever. It's not forever. It's a brand new idea. It's such a new idea, in fact, it's easy to forget if we think through what it's done. This is an idea. It wasn't even a Jewish idea. Hey, I'm going to tell you, if you're not Jewish, you're going to like this. You probably know it in the InfoWars audience. It's a Christian idea. Zionism, yeah, comes right out of England, right out of colonial Great Britain. It has a long history, but it really got kind of codified in the 1840s, 1850s. Darby and the boys came up with this idea. Well, they had a great idea. They thought, because, you know, they were reading things very literally, and as far as what they thought their interpretation was, that they could bring back the Messiah on their timetable if they got the Jews in, gathered back into Israel, fulfilled a prophecy. That's what they thought. And you know, not that long thereafter, the Jews, from a completely different street corner, the Marxist street corner, thought, hey, we're going to go over to Israel, Palestine at the time, of course. We're going to go make a nation because it's not so safe for us here in Eastern Europe. So we had first Christian Zionism, then Jewish Zionism. We went from 5%, the Jewish people had 5% of the population of that country in about 1900. By 1950, they had like 6,000, 7,000 people there. How'd that happen? Quite organized, okay? Very organized. And I'm not here to do anything but ask questions and point out contradictions. Because, you know, we're caught up here in a very religious kind of a frame. A very religious kind of a frame about a very political kind of deal where Great Britain and the Balfour Declaration, a country, in fact, a colonial empire, put some people in the Middle East financed by the bank, which was owned by the Rothschilds. They financed a lot of this. So we got the British colonial empire plus the Rothschilds, a mass migration, and it's holy. Okay. Sounds good, but it's kind of a contradiction. At least two things are coexisting together in a very kind of, for me, a very uncomfortable way. It's very uncomfortable. And let me tell you how uncomfortable it is for me and the kind of people I came from. See, because this is unusual. Because, you know, right now, and if there's anybody that is very critical of the Jews out there listening, you know, I want you to hear something. up until this about 1850 period, you know, like after what I like to call the Dark Ages, but the professors call the Renaissance, I like to call it the Dark Ages, flip it around. Like they flip so many of our words around, like equity used to mean money. Now it means we all got the same thing. Well, I'm going to call the Renaissance the Dark Ages because faith kind of went downhill, got replaced by science, the scientific method. And people had the ability to manipulate the world in a way unprecedented. Unprecedented, man. People had it going on for the first time. People weren't living at subsistence level. There weren't just kings and serfs. There was a middle class, a bourgeoisie. People got a chance to self-determine, think things through for themselves, go to university, move to the city. And this movement of Zionism that came up at this time, both in the Christian community and in the Jewish community, is so influenced by this God helps those that helps themselves kind of idea that's associated with the instrumentality of ego, the belief that, you know, you can make things happen for yourself. And that's a recent idea. And there were Jews that rejected it. And you know where they ended up? They ended up in America. Now, I'm not going to speak for downstream, okay? But I'm talking about the original gangsters that came over here. They were here with purpose, with intent, to be Americans, to have religious freedom and economic self-determination. And let me tell you something, and you need to know the frame and why they came here. Because for about 1,850 years, before this Zionist thing popped up out of the Dark Ages, yeah, it was an invention of the Dark Ages, kind of like, you know, Zionism, Marxism, Scientism, Nazism, the isms, you know, like the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, the isms. When it popped up, the people from the old ways, the old school ones, they rejected it. I remember them in my family. It wasn't religious, and that was because the old-timers, they believed that they were thrown out of their Israel back in the day, you know, a couple thousand years ago, because they deserved it, because they were sexually immoral and they worshiped other gods, broke the covenant with the Lord, committed murder. Hey, God punished the Jewish people. And the Jewish people said, okay, I accept the punishment, I lost it. What do I got to do to get back? How do I earn back in? And God had a very simple prescription: prayer, study, and charity. You're not going back to Israel, take an oath. And it was one of the three oaths of the diaspora, was that the Jews would never return to the Holy Land in mass as a wall, organized. No organization until the Messiah was there. In other words, the Jews were going to stay in a spiritual frame, seeking repentance and redemption. Not the least of which, they kind of missed a big event back there 2,000 years ago, because there was a Messiah, I almost said Moshiach. There was a Moshiach, a Messiah, that came forth from within the Jews, and that community said, give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas, they said. And, you know, we know that most Jews to this day don't know Christ, reject him. And then there's this group, and I think it's so, you know, it's just interesting that there's this group, these, you know, evangelical Christians in America, and they do so much good. You know, people, they really believe. And I spent a lot of time, in the evangelical church. I know that'll sound strange to you, but for those of you that go back to the way back, I was really moved by a pastor named Kenneth Hagin. He's got a son. He was the dad. And the dad preached faith and healing was just a way to get your faith. And I never heard him one time mention Israel the whole time. This is in the 80s. And somehow other ideas came in. I don't know where they came from. Kind of like at the universities in the 60s. All the academics were after the crown for reparations for the terrible sin of slavery and colonialization that the British and the other colonial powers had put on the world. And all these academics were moving inland. Reparations, reparations. We want you monarchs to pay up. Empty those safes. Come on, what you got? What you got? And you know, a few endowed professorships downstream from that, and white people were the problem. How did they do that? It's, you know, it's the same but a little different. What I'm trying to get to here in this is a new idea. Both Christian Zionism and all these evangelicals that do so much good, spread so much faith, stand in the word, take drug addicts, turn them into believers. Sinners got a place to go, find redemption. It's fantastic. I just don't know where the Zionism part got in there. I just have a problem with it because Israel is a British colonial operation. The entire Middle East was a British colonial operation. The French were in there too, Sykes-Picot and all, but it was really the British that put the lipstick on the whole pig over there. They got the Suez Canal. They needed cover for that because they were looking to cut return times with the ill-gotten gains from the Orient. And then they got all the petroleum. And man, you know, they had to have some kind of strategic claim to this area. So I have a problem with, all of a sudden, the crown has an interest in Palestine and the Rothschilds are involved in bankrolling the deal. And suddenly it's holy. It just seems a little unholy, and I'm just going to share with you why. Because, you know, there's been fighting there and dying and people with blood on their hands since the first settlers started going over there and the locals started to figure out that, well, somebody had opened their borders. And they said, hey, borders matter. So who are these invaders? And then you get into the whole, I'm just talking about it from the Arab street corner. I'm not looking to piss anybody off. I'm just saying that is their street corner. So we've got this very holy cover on something that's very political. And now look what it's doing right now. Right now, tonight, our country, again, in the Middle East. And I have to keep my mind open because I'm an American citizen and my country's at war. I got to keep my mind open. Talk about it after the break. There's so much to go through, so many ideas that need to get out on the table. They need to be contemplated. Maybe I've been lied to. Maybe I've had the wool pulled over my eyes. Maybe I'm ready to start to see. Because if I don't do it now, when am I going to do it? If not right now, after this break.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15, 20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke, in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. Now, I've been telling you this for decades, so they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research, the human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer when they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document. The potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com if you're a VIP member for 50% off, regular customers 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation, total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our Ultra Methylene Blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
Sunday Night Live. This is David Penn, guest hosting this evening for Royce White. I'm so glad to be with you. I'm trying to get into some difficult subjects this evening. I was talking about the evangelicals. Did so much for me being in the evangelical church. It's really where I learned the word. And as I was saying, when I learned it back in the 80s, I really don't remember Kenneth Hagin talking about Israel. I remember him talking about faith and walk by faith and not by sight and teaching people how they could find redemption and salvation through the word. You know, it's wonderful. It was a wonderful experience for me. And here we are, it's 2026, and guess what's happening this next week? It's something called America Reads the Bible. And this is a program that's getting put together by a reformed political activist, a woman named Bunny Pounds. Bunny Pounds. I think she lives down in Texas. And she's got an organization down there. And that organization is aligned with or part of what was originally called Focus on the Family, James Dobson's organization. And it turns out all these organizations are interlocking, many of them, and they're very pro-Israel. That's not the only thing that they do. It's one piece of what they're doing. They're doing a lot. They're doing a lot. But she put together this thing. She worked on it for a really long time. And it's called America Reads the Bible. And, well, here it comes. And it's going to be this coming week. Her organization is called Christians Engaged. It's a political organization. And if Royce is listening, when we're up here talking about getting Christians to vote, this woman's all over the top of it. She's got over a million Christians in her database. And their tagline is pray, vote, and engage in civic life. So she's taking Christians who are not engaged in the political process, and she's getting them engaged. And it comes with, many different elements they're working on. Pro-life is very critical to what they're doing. Of course, people are in the Word, Christians Engaged. They got a voter mobilization network. They do civic training. They partnership with 150 strategic ministry partners around the country. I mean, this is a very well-developed political program by a woman who was a professional political operative. In fact, she ran and lost down in Texas, tried to get into Congress. But she's very Christian Zionist. And so she's got this forum that they've been working on for this last, a year at least. And listen to the people that are going to participate in this. This is incredible. Because they're going to read the Bible this week from A to Z, the Alpha and the Omega. They're going to do it from stem to stern. From Genesis to Revelation, they're going to read every jot and tittle of this thing around the clock and listen to some of these people who are going to be participating. Well, let's start with President Donald J. Trump, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Secretary of War Pete Hegseth, Susie Wiles, Chief of Staff, Dr. Ben Carson, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, Secretary of the Interior Doug Burgum, Secretary of Transportation, Sean Duffy, Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Doug Collins, Secretary of Agriculture, Brooke Rollins, Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Scott Turner, National Economic Council Director, Kevin Hassett, White House Domestic Policy Council Director, Vincent Haley, Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, a bunch of senators, Cruz, Banks, Lankford, Ernst, and Grassley. They got both senators from Iowa, both Senator Joni Ernst and Senator Chuck Grassley. And I'm right up here in Minnesota, so that's no surprise to me. Governors. Governor Greg Abbott. Oh, Governor Ron DeSantis is in on this. Governor Huckabee Sanders, Scott Walker, bunches of them, bunch of House members. Mike Huckabee, our ambassador to Israel, is participating. Man, this is a big deal. All these people are going to read Scripture, and they're doing it in anticipation of the 250th anniversary of our country in an effort and kind of a sense of Ezra reading the Word into the public square, engaging with people to ignite Christianity in the people, to make the people walk by faith and not by sight. I mean, if it was back in the era I was doing this, that's how I'd be thinking. All these people, but it does have a very important part of it, which is this Christian Zionism. And that, to me, is a new idea. Because before the Christian Zionists, you know what the idea was? That Christ was a change, and that the church was the new Jerusalem, and the new Israel was in the United States of America. I don't know. New ideas. No, I don't know. I don't know where they come from. I wasn't there. I'm not saying anything that other than the fact that the Middle East has been ruled and at war since this period of time almost constantly. A lot of oil there. Lots of resources. Hey, I get it. We got colonial powers. They have interests, economic interests. Bankers got to get paid interest. The petrodollar. You know, the way the system works. The way we know in this, I mean, I don't have to tell you in this audience. I'll tell you what audience doesn't know how it works. That'd be the Christian Zionists in the Republican Party. They have no clue how the dollar empire works, or the fact that they're really bringing in communism, or that the original Zionists, the ones that went to, that actually went to Israel, those ones, they went Marxists. And the operation was financed by the Rothschilds, who apparently had no problem financing a Marxist. I was thinking about that. Maybe they were just cheap. Maybe they had all these folks that were coming over there, hundreds of thousands of people, and they just put them up in bunk beds and told them, hey, it's communism. Another cover story for being cheap. Could be. I don't know. Seems like a pretty good way to house people at the lowest possible price. Make them think that we're all in it together. Got to extend the resources, so to speak. But they were Marxists. I mean, the people that were there in those dormitories, they were actually Marxists. I wonder if the Christian Zionists know that the root of Zionism and Marxism, those are two peas from the same pod. Do they know that? Do they know that the Rothschild money, the banking money, funded a Marxist operation over there that was a mass immigration play? Do they think about it that way? It sounds very political. It sounds so much better when it's about bringing the Messiah back. And if you believe that, I don't know the future. I'm just trying to point out there's some contradictions here. Like, here's a contradiction. I was thinking about this today. What war am I willing to die in? Now here, this is why I'm very, very slow to make judgments. Let's say you and me are friends. Good friends, known each other for a long time. We like to drink together. The difference is I catch a buzz and you go home drunk. We've been doing this for years. I'm not judgmental. But we go to the bar and we're drinking and you're sitting to my left and on your left there's a guy. And that guy and you get into it because you're hammered. And next thing I know, you guys are in a fight and his friends are in a fight. What am I going to do? Let you get your ass kicked? No, I'm in the fight too because, hey, we came in together, we're brothers. That's how I feel about being an American right now. But I'm going to tell you, when the fight's over, the first thing I'm going to say to you is, don't you ever do that again. Because if you ever do that again, dude, you are on your own. You caused that fight. What was that about? And when I mean that going back to the way back, to the British colonial empire. Somehow we inherited that. In fact, if you want to find out, go over to the Professor Penn podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. I got 240 episodes about how this happened, going back to the way back. Because it just didn't happen in a vacuum. You know, we sit here and we go, well, there's a deep state. It's making things happen. They got a plan. Well, that plan goes back a long way. You know, we're just living through our chapter. You know, when we get up in the morning and we got to earn our daily bread by the sweat of our brow, let me try it one more time. When I get up in the morning and I have to focus on not starving to death, that I got to earn my daily bread by the sweat of my brow. I don't have time to be planning 400 years in advance. Some of these organizations got so much money, they got a room full of PhDs looking downstream 1,000 years. I'm just trying to get by today. And if I'm in a bar and you do that to me, we're friends, I'm not going to back you up the next time. And that's kind of where Israel's at here now, really. I think the sentiment in the country, particularly around the young people, man, people are not down with this. I think everybody knows it. Let me tell you a contradiction I'm trying to set up here. Saying it, that people that I know are deployed. So, you know, I'm an American citizen. You dragged me into a war. Okay, great. Maybe it was justified. That's what I'm trying to get to. What is a justified war? But I'm in this fight now. After it's over, I don't want to do this again. I just simply do not want to do this again. I don't want to be fighting in the Middle East. I just don't want to. Now, look at my age. My generation is all done with this Christian Zionism. This thing, America Reads the Bible, let me give you a maraschino cherry on your Sunday tonight. President Trump is going to read Tuesday night. Yeah, they've recorded President Trump. He has the high point of the week. He's going to read Chronicles 2, 7, 11 through 22. Let me read it to you. And you're going to see why I'm, you know, a little freaked out by this. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord. And in his own house, he was prosperous. He was prosperously affected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. This is the Lord speaking to Solomon, if I shut up heaven that there will be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. He's talking about Israel. This is the Lord talking about Israel. This is what President Trump is going to read. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, then shall I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, and this is the foretelling of a Messiah, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. And then there's a warning. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my covenants, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots and out of my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. In other words, Israel will be a global example of failure. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshiped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. President Trump is going to read that on Tuesday as part of this really kind of very interesting and great Bible revival associated with the 250th anniversary of our country, of our republic. This is rather complicated, isn't it? A lot going on here to unpack. We got our 250th anniversary. We got the Word. And we got a bunch of Christian Zionists that are in control of the event. They're in control of this. This is their event. This is not the only thing that they're doing. And they're actually getting Christians out to vote and bringing a revival of Christianity. What are we going to be doing tomorrow? Because today, I want my country to come out really good. And I can see a lot of good possibilities that could happen. Or I can see a lot of bad things that can happen. I plan for the worst. But it's too soon to talk about the war. It's bad enough, okay? It's bad. I get it. But there's rumors of war. Right now we got a rumor of war. It's not really war. It's a rumor of war. I'm going to thank God for today. I'm going to ask myself, is this a righteous war? You know, there's righteous wars. When, for example, when, if you want to get biblical, like you're a Christian Zionist, because I can talk to you. If you're a Christian Zionist, is there a righteous war? You know it in Scripture. You know that when the Israelites came into the Promised Land, well, you know the story. I mean, Joshua and Caleb spied it out. They came back. All the rest of them were freaked out. Those two, geez, yeah, there's giants. We can take them. Why? Because God told us we could take them. That's called walking by faith and not by sight. See, that's the kind of thing that keeps the communists away. Do you know what I'm saying? So there's some real good things here. That's the kind of faith that'll throw a mountain into the ocean. That's how you take a global edifice and break it down so that the day after, it's about the well-being of every American citizen. Yeah, we can get there together if we all get together. And that's what I'm really about now, because I'm a political educator. I'm really into this for the politics. Because what difference does it make to comment on it if nothing good comes out of it? So how are we going to work together? How are we going to see this together? Because you know what? I knew you were in there, but I thought we all kind of agreed. And I found out that once again, me and my compadres are out on the outside looking in, just like we've always been, at a bunch of neocons that are running the same play. But maybe it's not. We're going to know in the next couple of weeks. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I want there to be a good outcome. I could see President Trump at this point. I mean, that's like that guy in the bar, my friend. I mean, my friend. What am I going to do? Of course I got your back. Of course I got your back. But you got to deliver now. Let's not both go home beat and battered. I don't want to go home all beat up because of you. I want to go home with balanced trade and borders. Balanced trade. How? You buy your oil from us in dollars, and we'll buy the finished goods from you in dollars. Problem solved. Isn't that great? That'd be cool. Back in the oil, back in the dollar business, squared. Genius. Out of the box. The rules-based order is dead. See the Lendon? Hey, took a look at this. Your program? We're making a new program. Okay, make it work. What? I have no influence over that. I'm just looking at it like you are. Let it be good. Let it be well with the American people. But I'm not going to forget that people that really worked hard to wake people up, and of course none of us are perfect. Everybody's got feet of clay here. People that really gave, like Alex Jones for one. People that influenced millions of people. These are not stupid people. These are very brave people. And there's another level of this thing. I mean, we're talking about one level here with this war. And I can see President Trump's got some great ideas if he pulls it off. You know, he didn't make it happen yet. He is gambling with this, right? But, you know, there's another level of this where this is all kind of a diversion. Yeah, that's what I said, as serious as this is, and I know this audience knows it. Like Executive Order 14179, removing barriers to American leadership in artificial intelligence, signed January 23rd, 2025. Or Executive Order 14277, Advancing Artificial Intelligence Education for American Youth, April 23rd, 2025. Or how about Executive Order 14299, Deploying Advanced Nuclear Reactor Technologies for National Security, May 23rd, 2025. Well, that's a good one. Executive Order 14300, ordering the reform of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Wow, that'll speed things along. That also on May 23rd. Executive Order 14301, reforming nuclear reactor testing at the Department of Energy. Again, let's get going. You know, Donald Trump was able to fix a skating rink in New York City that had been gummed up by bureaucracy for years. Man, he had practice. Look at him tear through these executive orders. 14302, reinvigorating the nuclear industrial base. Fantastic. January passed into the next year, and we come up here, and it's Executive Order 14318, accelerating federal permitting of data centers. Next one, promoting the export of American AI technology stacks. Well, we're going to be an exporter because they're building out $7 to $9 trillion of these data centers around the world right now. You know it in this audience. November 24th, launching the Genesis mission. For those my age that like Star Trek, we took that with a kind of a smile. The Genesis mission creates a national AI platform using government supercomputers and quantum systems to accelerate scientific discovery. And then 14365, ensuring a national policy framework for artificial intelligence, followed up by, winning the 6G race for implantable technologies. You see, it is kind of a 3D chess thing we got going on here. How are we going to make America great? Hey, you know what? It's up to me. It's up to the citizens of this country. This is what you call a jump ball. Jump ball. Let's get involved. Let's take it as serious as it needs to be taken. And let's make a good future for ourselves. We can do it. We're not out of this game. We're a community. Come on over to Free People Radio and let's talk about it. I want to talk about it with you more right after these commercial breaks. This is David Penn. Looking forward to seeing you soon again.
If you suffer from low energy, if you're not feeling the energy that you used to feel in your younger years, you should try this product and see if it makes a difference for you, because there are many causes of lack of energy, but one of them can be a lack of cellular energy support through pre-methylated nutritional supplements like this that can help you. You can go buy a bottle of vitamins at any store, you know, any Walmart, anywhere that's got cheap B12, which is cyanocobalamin, or the cheap B vitamins, or the cheap minerals like calcium carbonate, which is ground up limestone. You know, Alex Jones doesn't use the cheap low-end versions of these products. And I know this as a nutritionist, as a food scientist. I look at Alex's labels and I'm like, yes, these are the high-end ingredients that I would be using in my own formulations. You may not know that the vitamin B12 that's in that formula, which is methylcobalamin, you may not know this, but that ingredient alone is crazy expensive. I think the last time I looked at the pricing of vitamin B12, it was something like $10,000 per kilogram. I mean, it's insanely expensive. And so the fact that you can get a bottle of this for, what is it, like $22 on thealexjonesstore.com, it's unbelievable. I don't know how they're able to get to these prices. They've also got TMG in there. They've got CoQ10 in there. They've got vitamin B6 and so on. Also another form of folate in the same formula. The Ultra Methylene Red. And it's sweetened by stevia. So stevia, which is great. It's a natural leaf, you know, sweet leaf sweetener. So really, I'm always impressed with what the Alex Jones Store is doing with their product line. So check it out. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Ultra Methylene Red.